It's time to start living inspired with Tricia Goyer. This is your show, ladies, to dig deep into topics that matter most to you, featuring everyday stories of transparency and hope. Tricia is here to inspire you to make changes in your lives and make a difference in the world. Tricia is a wife, mom, speaker, family expert, and author of 24 books. Using her own experiences as a teen mother and leader of today's generation, Tricia's vision is to be the voice of hope and possibility for women of all ages. Her intention is to serve ordinary women by encouraging extraordinary things with God's help. It's living inspired. And now, here's your host, Tricia Goyer.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Living Inspired. I am so glad that you're here today, and I'm so glad that we can talk about being inspired. You know, I was thinking about this word this week since I talk about living inspired and the inspiration that comes from God, and the word inspiration means God breathed. Have you had inspiration lately? Have you allowed God to breathe into your soul? I know sometimes this can be hard to do. We're running around. We have a crazy schedule. There's kids to take here and there. There's babies to care for. There's moms and dads that need to go to the doctor's office. We feel like we're out of our minds sometimes running around and doing it all. Well, I have a guest who's going to be talking about this, and she's going to be sharing stories of her life too. And she'll be sharing also about her book, Too Blessed to Be Stressed. My guest today is Deborah Cody. She's a humorist, columnist, speaker, writing workshop instructor, and the award-winning author of over 100 international articles and 10 inspirational books. And I am so excited to have you here today. Welcome, Deborah.
Thank you so much.
Oh, it's just great to be here. You know, I was running around and this book came in the mail, and I just opened it up and looking at the title, I'm like, okay, this is a book that I need to read. So tell me, how did you, I mean, it must be from some type of experience, but how did you come to write this book?
Well, I actually wanted to call it Too Blessed to Stay Stressed, because I think that we women, it's normal in our society, unfortunately normal, for us to be stressed. We just, we live in that type of situation where we're overextended and we're just crazed out from our activities and keeping up with our kids and trying to be the perfect mom and you know, the perfect everything. And so I wanted to call it too, the thing is, we are going to get stressed, but do we have to stay stressed? And it ended up being Too Blessed to Be Stressed, and I'm okay with that. But, you know, I think my heart is with the women that I've spoken with and talked to through traveling, and I'm a speaker, and I've been privileged to meet with a lot of women in different places, and I keep hearing that resounding struggle that we all seem to have with stress. Mm-hmm. And so that was the motivation for the book.
Right. What I love is right when it opens up, there's a little questionnaire, a health awareness questionnaire. And I'm going to read some of these questions. You have to answer true or false to each one. Am I frequently grumpy and I don't know why? True. No, next one. I used to enjoy cooking, but now it's only a necessary chore. True. But my favorite one is the last one. My to-do list has footnotes.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, this is so, that's so true. But, you know, do you think it's just our society that's this way? It seems like the prairie days or times long ago, it didn't seem to be like that. Maybe it's just our perception of that. But why do you think it is now and today?
Well, I think you're so right, and you as an Amish book writer, I know you're very well, you know, in tuned with the quote, good old days, and the simpler time.
Right.
And I think we've just bitten off more than we can chew. We've over committed ourselves to everything. And I think one of the problems, and I'm not sure what the answer is, but somehow we've equated. There you go. I make up a lot of words, and most of the time I never even know I made it up. But we equate busyness, especially in church and things for the Lord, we equate that with holiness. Mm. And it's not. It's not at all. And I think we wear our busyness like a badge. And that means that we're more spiritual if we're busy, 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 and we're doing this, and we're helping with that, and we're in children's church, and we're doing the Vacation Bible School, and that, and that, and that, and that, and that. When it's not, all it does is wear us to a frazzle. And, you know, we have no time left for those true priorities that the Lord gave us at certain times of our life, which when we have young kids, that's our priority. That's what we're supposed to be focused on.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think you brought up a good point there. You know, when we are busy for the church, we think, well, this is God's will. We're working for the church. You know, I remember times I had three little kids at home when I was homeschooling, and they asked me if I would help cook for Wednesday night supper. And I said, of course.
Oh.
And, you know, do a Bible study. Yes, I'll teach a Bible study. And can you help clean the church? Yes. Can you help lead the church children's musical? Yes. You know, all these things, because you think you're working for God. And I think that was one of the most stressful times of my life. But I think it goes back to something, too, that I know that you talk a lot about, is self-worth. I was a young mom. I had my first one as a teenager, and two quickly followed. And I wanted to be the good Christian girl now that I gave my heart to the Lord and was doing everything. I didn't want anyone to see me as that teen mom. But
yeah,
my self-worth was a lot in the serving. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. I think self-worth is something that all of us struggle with in some degree. This was brought to my attention recently. I learn a lot through stories, and so I tell a lot of stories. So if I story you to death, just stop me and say, okay. But recently, I was at a writer's meeting, and I know you're a hat girl, too, so you'll appreciate this story. But I was at a writer's meeting, and a new writer came into the group, and she looked at me, and kind of, I thought, is my nose running? What is she staring at me for? And, you know, after a while, she said, I know you. You're Deborah Cody. And I said, how did you know that? And she said, it's your hat. I always see you in pictures with your hats on. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. I never thought about it. I'm a hat girl, so I didn't give it any more thought. Well, I came home and I started thinking about it, and I blogged about that, and I said to my, you know, friends and readers, and do you guys brand me with a hat? I just hadn't really thought about it. And I got a reply from an old chum from actually from my high school, and I grew up in a small town, and we were with the same kids all the way through elementary, middle, and high school, you know, so it was one of those gals, and she wrote and said, you know, are you the Mitchell girl? That was my mom's name, and she was the teacher in the school. Are you the Mitchell daughter that never combed her hair? And she said, your mom talked about that in one of my classes one day, and I started carrying a brush with me from then on. And all of a sudden, I had this flashback that I must have blocked it because I hadn't thought about it in years. My mother taught in the middle school where I went. I was a gorky sixth grader, and I could have cared less about the way I looked. I was into everything else but that at the time. And I remember sneaking into her classroom. She taught health, and she was up in the front of the classroom teaching, and I was sneaking in the back of her classroom trying to stick something in her purse back there in her desk. I don't know not what now. But I remember being very quiet and trying so hard not to draw attention to myself. And right as I got back there, all of a sudden my mother stopped speaking, and she pointed at me and said, well, turn around, everyone, and look at that example of bad, what was it, grooming habits, I think is the way she put it. So everybody turns around and starts snickering, and I'm like wanting to die. And just
wow.
And I didn't comb my hair. I looked like a, you know, Chia Pet most of the time. I still do, but that's what the hats are for. So it was funny because I had this, like, aha moment of that's why I love hats, I guess. I mean, my closet looks like Dr. Seuss exploded with a Cat in the Hat, you know, and I never really thought why until that moment. And it was one of those, oh, my self-esteem is so rooted in things I don't even know about. You know, I hadn't even considered that for years and years and years. But as an adult, sitting in there in my computer desk, just thinking about that thought, I wanted to crawl under my desk. I wanted to just disappear and never be seen again. And I thought, wow. You know, our self-worth and our self-esteem is so deep, things that you know, it's hard for us, I think, to realize just how far back they go sometimes.
Right.
And, you know, that's something that I've always needed to deal with. I've always thought my hair was disgusting and horrible, but I never really gave it much thought why I thought that, you know.
Wow, that's so amazing. And, you know, those comments that maybe just be are offered offhand, or just, you know, those fleeting comments that even sometimes come across as a joke. It's amazing how deep they go. You know, I always think about my mom. My room was always a mess. There's just piles of stuff everywhere. And my mom said, hate to see what your house looks like when you're an adult. And so for the first 10 years of marriage, my house was spotless. I mean, you know, there wasn't a lint on the carpet there, you know. And I remember, you know, every time people come over, oh, your house is so clean, so clean. I remember one day after I started getting book contracts, could not keep up with that house cleaning anymore.
Preach it, yeah.
A friend came over and the house was messy and I was horrified. She goes, I like you so much better now. You're like a real person to me. And it just made me realize, yeah, you're just putting up this front, but people are, you know, I just, after that, now it's messy about half the time when you come over. But yeah, those comments, you never know how they affect you, do you?
No, you don't. And it just reminds me of one other self-esteem shaping moment from my childhood that I've written about in a couple of my books. But I was 12 years old, which you're kind of at that really self-conscious stage anyway, and your body's changing. And I was at a public pool at my grandmother's house, so I didn't know anybody. And I decided I was going to go off the high dive, and I had never done it before. It was a platform, and you climbed up this long, 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 long ladder way up there, and you walked out and you jumped off the end. So I thought, okay, I'm going to do it. Never done it before. So climbed up there, got all the way to the end, and I froze. And I couldn't, I just couldn't jump off. I couldn't do anything. I just froze like a deer in headlights. And there I was, you know, I felt like the whole world was looking at me. I was up there on that high dive for all the world to see in my horrible little bathing suit with my, you know, changing body. And this girl behind me, I started to back up. And I bumped into her. She was an older girl, probably 15 or 16. And I didn't know her. And she said, what are you doing? And I said, I can't jump. And she said, you don't belong up here. And she just looked at me with this disdainful look on her face. And she said, you're fat and you're ugly. You don't belong up here. And I was so mortified, and I took that in. I you know, you don't know this person, and she's angry, so she shouldn't have any merit in your life.
Right.
But I jumped because that was the only way I could hide the tears. And all my whole life, that has kind of haunted me. I'm fat, and I'm ugly, and I don't belong.
Wow.
And, you know, how dare I, you know, slap the maker of me in the face by taking this girl who I know not, her opinion over his, who loves me and made me exactly as I am.
That's a good point. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment. I'm talking to Deborah Cody about Too Blessed to Be Stressed, and we'll be right back.
What are your dreams? What are your goals? It's time to be living inspired. Tricia Goyer will be right back with more ways to do just that. More Living Inspired is coming up right after these.
Hello, and welcome back to Living Inspired. Do your list have footnotes? Has your family suggested a rabies shot because your bite has surpassed Rover's? Ouch. Maybe it's time for a healthy dose of truth-giving wrapped in humor. And I'm talking to Deborah Cody today about her book, Too Blessed to Be Stressed. Now, Deborah, right before the break, you're sharing that story that just broke my heart, because I was there with you. I was the same awkward, slightly chubby, you know, middle schooler.
Yeah.
I mean, I could just relate to it so much. But it's amazing how much we end up carrying that into our adult lives. We don't realize that it's those voices that, like you said, we had no right listening to, that are impacting us. And then trying to prove that we are something, trying to prove we could look a certain way or act a certain way, we add on so much stress to your life. So if there's someone out there listening and saying, okay, that's me too, I've been listening to those voices, what hope is there for us?
Well, there's so much hope. I'm actually addressing that very issue in another book that's coming out in March called More Beauty, Less Beast, and subtitled Transforming Your Inner Ogre. And I go into that in a lot more detail, but, you know, that's a lifelong struggle for me, and I'm sure it is for many, many other women. And I'll just have to tell you a funny story about that. I was speaking last year at a large church at a women's function, and I had just previously lost 40 pounds the year before. And, you know, I was proud of myself. It was hard work, and I was just very proud, and, you know, I just kind of mentioned it in passing. It wasn't really one of my points of my speech or anything, and afterwards, this woman came up to me, a group of women, and this one was very, very well-dressed and, you know, perfectly coiffed and very expensive outfit on, and she said, oh, Deborah, I just loved your speech. Thanks so much for coming today, and I just have one question for you. That is just so wonderful about you losing that weight. And then she paused a minute, and I thought, uh-oh, what's coming now? She said, when do you think all that skin's going to start to shrink up?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
And I think with self-esteem issues, sometimes you have to laugh. I mean, you have to laugh, and it's laugh or cry, and so
right.
choose to laugh, you know, and we can't really make our own candle burn brighter by blowing out someone else's, and
oh.
all those. And I noticed that when I was in the process of losing weight, friends would offer me brownies and bring me over big piles of cookies, and it's like, are they trying to sabotage me? You know, some people would. It's funny.
Right. Right, absolutely. And I think that brings up another point, which I know is something that you talk about, is dealing with difficult people. I mean, it seems like that would,
yes.
even though it's just a fleeting moment and you know, you probably will never see her again, but I know you have a special name for these difficult people. Do you want to tell us about that?
Well, I kind of think of them as NIBs, nuts in my batter. And I had that revelation one day when I was trying to stir in some nuts into some brownie batter, and it just was not working because I hadn't really stirred everything together well before I put the nuts in, and lumps and a mess. And I thought, you know, we can approach nuts in our batter many different ways, and you know, we can resent them, and we can pick them all out and throw them away, or we can try to meld them in. And we, you know, and a good example, a story about that is, I talk about it a little bit in my book. I'm an occupational therapist that specializes in hand injuries. I've been doing that now for about 33 years, and I ended up going to a new clinic about a year and a half ago, and my new boss was half my age, very hard, cold person, extremely difficult to get along with, very coarse and dry and manipulative in a bad way, and it was just awful. And I go into a lot of details in the book there. I mean, it was silly things. It was like a power play. She wouldn't give me a stapler for my area. She wouldn't let me have a wall clock. And the patients would bring a family member back, and she wouldn't let me have an extra chair for the family member to sit in. And things like that. And it was absurd. So I was really angry with the Lord that he put me in this situation, even though I'm the one that had chosen it. And I wrestled with it because I really didn't know what to do. I was under her authority. And I couldn't just leave. So I prayed and I wrestled with it. And it was funny how I'm not exactly a person of wonderful self-control, but he gave me supernatural self-control. So every time I was ready to just bite her ever-loving head off, I was able to stop. It was totally his strength and not mine. And I never really understood, couldn't figure why this kept going on and on and on. And finally one day, because I hadn't really retorted back to her and I hadn't retaliated in anger, even though inside I was seething, she kind of, I guess, felt more comfortable around me. And one day, she opened up to my utter shock and surprise and explained that, yeah, you know, she guessed she was a little bit of a control freak, but, you know, she was the youngest of like 8 or 9 children, and she had never gotten to express herself at all, and she was always snuffled under the rug and et cetera, and that she never was really into God at all, and she knew I was, but she wasn't because she thought he would want to change things, and she wanted to do things her way. For the first time in her life, she wanted to do things her way. And she just kind of spilled her guts one day, and I realized that the Lord had this whole thing planned out, that I was supposed to be there, and I was supposed to be in what I call intentional submissive. I was supposed to be intentionally submissive to her so that he could do a larger work in her in the end. And, you know, and it was a revelation to me that, wow, there's a different way to look at these nuts in our batter and how to actually deal with these people.
You know, I love that. And how, I mean, God, it's no surprise to him. I mean, he planned it for you to be there. But God has a plan for connecting to their hearts. I mean, that's our whole purpose.
Yes.
It's not about us. It's about him. And it's about them. It's about him, God, and the people that he brings into our lives. And I could think about I just agree that situations and people that he's brought in has just allowed me to shine the love of Jesus when I want to wring their necks.
Oh, but it's so true. And I kind of outlined some of the different, during this time, I was studying the scripture and trying to find out how to deal with difficult people from God's perspective. And I found all kinds of great scriptures about it. Would you like me to share a few?
Sure, I would love it. Yes.
Well, Matthew 5:44, we have to pray for them, even for their salvation, even if we don't like them. And to me, it was surprising at how bitterness can evolve into something quite different when we're on our knees.
Right.
And James 5:16, to pray for the healing in the rifted relationship, not that God would change the other person, the NIB, but that he would let us see them through his eyes.
Mm.
And,
yeah.
You know, there was so many. Proverbs 29:22, diffuse your anger, release steam in a healthy way, whack the stuffing out of a ball. I think that's probably why I'm a tennis addict. pour out your anger in a letter and then destroy it, you know,
right.
Confide to a trusted friend. But when we do that, we have to be careful because sometimes our friends love us so much, they sympathize a little too much, and it eggs us on back into more anger because they're
right.
So empathetic
right.
that we just feel even more justified. So we just have to be a little careful about that. And one of the big ones for me was from Philippians 4:6-7, one of my favorite scriptures, that the gist of it is you don't have to win. We need to choose to lose sometimes, as my pastor says. And he says, choose to lose, refuse to win. And I kind of chose that as my little motto whenever I would get into the stage where my teeth were gritted and my gnashing of teeth and I would remember that, choose to lose, refuse to win.
Oh, that is so good. And don't you think, I mean, as authors and speakers, sometimes I think God puts us in this situation so we could write and speak about it. You know, I'll be in these situations like, okay, I know that I'm going to overcome this with your strength, and then I'm going to have to tell people about it.
Oh, I absolutely agree with you 100%. I thought that so many times when I get into these absurd, ridiculous situations, and I can't figure out why, and then I realize, oh, I'm supposed to share this because everybody else has the same problem too.
Yes. You know, and I think, oh, God, if you just make me perfect, then it'll be a good example for others. It doesn't work that way.
And it's a good thing, you know, in the end. But I think because then we all join hands and we're all striving in the same direction that way.
Absolutely. Well, you know, speaking of this writing and speaking, I mean, I would love to know, and we'll come back to Too Best to Be Stressed. I know we'll get that soon. But how did you get started in the writing and speaking? I'd love to hear your story.
Well, I'm the most unlikely person because I have a total fumble. I can identify with Moses because I have this total fumble tongue that just bleh, falls all over itself and doesn't. As you can see, I'm doing it right now. I'm bad. I can't talk, you know, and I need an errand. But I was a child, absolutely rabid. I call myself a rabid reader because I sucked in books, and I was totally taken with Christie by Catherine Marshall when I was a teenager. And it actually is one of those books, and I know everybody has one in their lives, that crawls beneath the skin and embeds itself in your bone marrow. And that book did that for me, and it opened my eyes to so many things about faith, and it changed my life. And it also implanted in me this little seed that maybe one day I might like to write a book that would change other people's hearts and to touch them the way that Christie had touched me. Well, fast forward 25 years, I did not go into English or literature. I ended up going into science and majored in occupational therapy and met a wonderful man named Chuck, and I ended up with two kids, my son Matthew, who is now 29, and my daughter, can you guess her name?
No.
Christie.
Oh, that's good.
That's how much that book meant to me. I even named my daughter after her. So she's 27 and just had my first grandbaby, by the way.
Oh, wow.
So all those years passed, and my childhood dream of writing just kind of lay on the back burner until one day when I was 45 years old, I was sitting in the dentist's office, and my baby was about to fly the coop, and I felt like there was a hole in my life. And I said, Lord, you know, I was sitting there praying in this dentist office surrounded by people, and I was just quietly saying, you know, I feel like it's been a wonderful career as a piano teacher for 20 years and an OT for 30, and I love that, and thank you, but there's something else. Isn't there?
Right. Okay, now this is what you call a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Because we're going to have to take a break right now. Perfect timing. We're going to be taking a break, and I'm talking to Deborah Cody about Too Blessed to Be Stressed. And we'll be back in just a minute on Living Inspired.
What are your dreams? What are your goals? It's time to be living inspired. Tricia Goyer will be right back with more ways to do just that. More Living Inspired is coming up right after these.
Welcome back to Living Inspired. I'm so glad that you're here, and I'm talking to Deborah Cody about her book, Too Blessed to Be Stressed. Sorry about that. Now, Deborah, right before the break, I said we had a cliffhanger because you were just getting ready to tell us the moment when you knew that you were supposed to be a writer. So why don't you just back up a little bit and start that story over so that our listeners can catch it all.
Okay. Well, I was finishing up two careers when I was 45 as a piano teacher for 20 years and an occupational therapist for over 30. And I was sitting in a dentist office praying about what I was supposed to do now. I just felt that there was a gap, that the Lord wanted me to do something, but I didn't have a clue what. And just as I was praying about it, I reached down and picked up a magazine and randomly opened it, and there was an ad for a writer's contest.
Oh, wow.
And that light bulb just went boom on inside of my head, and I said, oh, I used to want to write when I was a kid. And I just sat there a minute holding it and praying about it, and I heard that still small voice of the Lord that speaks to our hearts. And he said three words, Deb, it's time.
Oh, wow.
And I said, oh, my goodness. And, of course, I hadn't written anything except Christmas cards for, you know, 25 years at that point. And I didn't know ellipses from an elliptical. You know, I didn't know anything. And so I thought, okay, well, So I know that when he gives us a shed to build, he provides the nails. So I said, all right, let's see what we have. So I ended up with a friend of a friend of a friend who was actually had some experience with magazine writing for Christian magazines, and that's kind of where I wanted to start. So she was gracious enough to mentor me, and we met together about once a month in a little coffee shop, and she just kind of tutored me a bit, and largely because of her, I was able to get 10 articles published in magazines that first year.
Wow.
Which was incredible. That would have been in about, I guess, 2002 or so. And then that led to a newspaper column, and then that led to books. And it just kind of totally took me by surprise because, like I said, I am like the most unqualified person to be a writer. And God just is amazing how he does that. Just absolutely incredible.
I love that, how he spoke to your heart and then brought someone into your life that could help you with that. But I know you probably will agree with this. Just because we're called to do something doesn't mean it's always easy.
Oh.
I know, you know, there's sometimes I know the book I'm supposed to write. I know the message, but it is a lot of hard work, isn't it?
Oh, it definitely is. And I want to say you have just been an inspiration to me. I've watched you for so long. I love your books, and I follow your newsletters and follow your blog, and wow, how in the world do you get all that done with a baby and everything? I just
Well, my to-do list has footnotes. So. No, but, you know, I think it comes back, and I'll answer your question since you just turned the tables on me. It comes back to what you were saying earlier, choosing those priorities and picking, you know, so it seems like I'm doing a lot, but I do, like, four things, and I just do them, you know, writing, taking care of my kids and my husband, you know, mentoring teen moms and church. I mean, those are, you know, so it's not, you know, all these other things that have us running around all the time. You know, but I think, like you were saying before, it takes those priorities and focusing on them, which I think leads us back to your book, Too Blessed to Be Stressed. You want to talk a little bit more about, I know one of the things you have in your book is called calendar constipation.
Yes.
I don't know if I've ever said that word during a radio interview. This is the first time.
Right. Well, that is so true, and I'm a little hesitant because I don't want to offend anybody, but I'm very plain talking gal, so I apologize ahead of time if my phraseology here bothers anyone, but please forgive. But I kind of look at it as when your calendar gets constipated and it's clogged up and it's blocked and ain't nothing happening on it, those little squares are all just totally full. You know, the only thing we can do to help our constipated calendars is obvious. An activities enema. You know, it's sitting down and exactly like you said, determining your priorities. And I think those ministries that God assigns to us changes with the seasons of our lives. So mm-hmm. it's something that we have to do probably yearly because it does, it's fluid and it does evolve into different things. But if we can keep those priorities written down on something in front of us, I like to tape mine to my mirror so there's no question in my mind. When I'm asked to do something new, I look at my priorities and I see if that fits in with what God has ordained for me to do during this phase of my life. And if it is, then I will try to work it in. If it's not, I say, I'm very sorry. You know, I found a good thing you can tell people. They can't argue with this reasoning. You say, I am very sorry, but I'm trying to scale back to maintain my mental and spiritual health, so I cannot participate at this time. Now, if they argue with you or they keep pushing, then they're going to feel bad that they either sent you to the loony bin or jail, so they can't argue with that, you know?
Oh, that is so true. And, you know, I think that word no is so huge. You know, for years I didn't say no. And when my kids were little, I saw what other parents were doing, and, oh, my child needs to be in soccer too, or t-ball also, or,
yes.
You know, all these things. You just want to try to keep up with everyone. And it was my husband that sat me down and said, okay, what are our priorities? This is crazy. You know,
yes.
I'm so glad that I have his voice in my life. And, you know, we picked family dinners and reading together before the kids went to bed. And so a lot of things, a lot of the kids' activities we cut back on, and what a relief.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Once you get those things out of your life, I mean, don't you just feel that burden lift?
Yes, indeed. And it's decluttering. It's decluttering your life, your soul, and your home, too. I also had one other thing I wanted to share about that. I came up with this. I have what I call Cody Near Facts of Science that I sprinkle throughout my books that totally don't make much sense to anybody but me. But one of them that goes along with this topic is called BOOP, B-O-O-P, which stands for Boiling Oatmeal Overflow Phenomenon. And I kind of picture us women like pots of oatmeal.
Mm.
At the beginning of the day, we simmer with these nice little manageable bubbles that rise to the surface, the little stress bubbles, and they just pop and dissipate, no problem. But then, as the day progresses, the heat escalates and the oatmeal boils higher and meaner and wilder until it overflows and spoils everything around it with this ugly, sticky mess.
Right.
And I think the trick for us to learn is to when to remove the pot from the burner so that oatmeal simmers back down. And I think that's kind of the whole key in stress management. What do we do to remove that pot from the burner?
I love that. And, you know, really, and I found when I don't know how to do that, I mean, just turning to God makes such a huge difference. Going to Him and letting Him speak to my heart. And there'll be those times when I hear that still small voice, what are you doing that for? Why did you sign up for that? I mean, you know, it's
absolutely
amazing that we have Him that we can turn to.
That is so true. And you know, with that in mind, I'm a very simple-minded person, and I have to have something real easy for me to think of to get into that place where I say, okay, now I've got to deal with this, and what should I do? So I came up with an acronym for PEACE that's based on Philippians 4, 6, and 7, one of my favorite verses, which I've already mentioned. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So my acronym is P-E-A-C-E, P, placing, E, each, A stands for aggravation, at, C, Christ's feet, and E, expectantly. And I think that last one is the real key, that we need to expect that Jesus will actually hear us and respond. And he does.
Right. Oh, I love that. You know, and it's just not sitting down and saying, okay, I'm going to, you know, check off my to-do list. I'm have my quiet time, 10 minutes here. But really, like you were saying, have that expectation that God's going to show up and that he has something to say to you. He has peace for your heart. He has joy for your heart. And he wants to be there and be involved in your day. You know, just the other day on Facebook, I put something about, I had written like 2,000 words that day, and I'm like, thank you, Jesus. And someone commented, send Jesus over to my house. And I said, you know what?
I love it.
He's already there. He's already there. You just have to turn to him. And I think so many times we forget that he's already there.
Yes, absolutely. And I think there's a couple of other things that are simple that we can do, too, when we're feeling like our earrings are about to melt from our blood pressure zooming out the top of our head. One thing that's helped me immensely is to actually physically remove myself from that source of stress. And you may not be able to do it right away, especially if the baby's screaming and the oatmeal is boiling over on the pot. But, you know, to eventually crawl into your closet if you have to. I did that a lot when my kids were little. Or step outside for just 5 minutes. Breathe deep. Have a little prayer walk around the house. I do laps around the parking lot at work. Or when I'm home, I do lots of prayer walks. But just to remove yourself from that source of stress. And then you can get a little different perspective on it. And another thing that's really helpful, it may be a little stunning to some people. I've had a lot of comments from people that say, what a great idea. I never thought of that. But to actually add yourself to your to-do list for the day.
Yeah.
And just write your name right on in there. Schedule yourself 15 minutes to just chill out, you know, to have your own time with the Lord. And that makes a huge difference.
Right.
Really does.
I could so relate. I didn't make, you know, laps outside, but what I used to do, these three little kids would follow me, and I'd shut the bedroom door. Mommy would be out in a minute, and I would go lay on my bed and pull my comforter over my head. You know, I could hear their little fist pounding on the door, and I would just imagine Jesus in heaven.
Aww.
Imagine the peace. Imagine the angels worshiping him and saying, okay, that is reality. That is reality. And, you know, he can be with me here, too, and just letting him, that peace of that, you know, we're going to be with him for eternity, and he has good plans for us, and he's with us, just filter into my heart, and 3 minutes later, walk out the door, a better, happier mommy.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, when I was a little girl, my mommy had her God time in the bathtub, because that was the only time we kids would leave her alone, and then we were pounding on the door, and I have vivid memories of her saying, go away. This is my God time. And she would take her Bible right there into the bathtub with her. And, you know, I laugh about it now, but we're reduced to that sort of thing all the time, you know?
That's right. Well, we're going to be taking another break, and we're talking to Deborah Cody about Too Blessed to Be Stressed. And I don't know about you, but I'm just getting uplifted and getting lots of good pointers. So we'll get some more in just a minute on Living Inspired.
And now, back to your host, Tricia Goyer.
Welcome back to Living Inspired. I am talking to Deborah Cody, and we're talking about her book, Too Blessed to Be Stressed, Inspiration for Climbing Out of Life's Stresspool. Not cesspool, but stresspool. Now, Deborah, tell our listeners where they can go to find out more information about you.
Well, I'd love to have them visit my website. It's www.myname.deborahcody.com. Spells a little funky because my mother was so drugged up at the time. She spelled Deborah really weird, but it's D-E-B-O-R-A, and then Cody is C-O-T-Y. So it's deborahcody.com.
Oh, great. Well, I'm sure that they'll find lots of inspiration and some laughter there. I know it's been so great talking to you, and I love that the same humor and fun is found within the pages of your book, and I just love
thank
that. You know,
you.
It's just
thank
so
you.
Fun.
If they do go to my website, one more thing I would like to point out to them, I created 12, I call them 2-minute stress busters. They're very, very short videos that make, there's 12 points from the book. And I actually wrote the music and I perform it on the piano myself, a little theme music. But they're little short quickies, and they're cute and funny, but they have a little meat to them. And they're all different tips on how to kind of decompress yourself during the day. So they're on my website.
Wonderful. And I know that there are a lot of mommies out there that can definitely go and use that. That is awesome.
I hope so.
Yeah. Now, one other thing I want to talk to you about, and I know we've been talking all around this issue, but I'd just like to dig in a little bit deeper, is that, you know, we were talking about how going to God and having that quiet time, but I know one of the verses that you're passionate about is Nehemiah 8:10 about the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I found that so much in my day. If I could just seek God and get His joy in me, everything turns out so much better. Let me hear from you a little bit about that.
Well, when I was a young mom, I have this vivid memory of standing at my front door with my two kids screaming and one wrapped around my leg and the dog, you know, tugging at me trying to go outside, and I have my arms loaded with clothes that have yet to be sorted and folded and put away. And my sister dropped by just for a moment, and we were standing at the door just kind of staring at each other, and I said to her, you know, where did the joy go? I don't remember last time I felt joyful. Do you? And she was also in the same phase of life where she had young kids and busy, 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 and that stress pool, she was drowning in it, just like me. And we both just shook our heads sadly. And, you know, I realized after that that I don't have to be that way. I mean, sure, our circumstances are tough, but it's a choice we make. Joy is a choice that we make. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I started kind of thinking about how I could become a little more joyful. And one of the biggies was to, as writers, you know, we like white space on our pages.
Right.
And the white space is the borders around the page and around all those black words that clog up everything and make it so unfriendly to look at when you have too many words on a page. So writers value their white space. And I started thinking about that in terms of life, that I didn't have any white space. And so, and I just, at that point, I wrote Mom Needs Chocolate shortly after that. And that was kind of a way to learn, and as I was learning, hopefully my readers were learning with me, how we could find more white space.
Right.
And how we can then get in touch with that joy of the Lord and make it a part of us, not just an event that we would visit once or twice a day, but that's actually living, breathing inside of us.
I love that. And, you know, when we do have that white space, I mean, we have that chance to breathe. We have that time, chance to find that joy again. And, you know, I was just thinking about that today. I was tired. I've been staying up too late, getting up too early. And I looked at my to-do list that I had made for my day, and I use an online calendar, so each slot has a little schedule there. And I said, you know what? And I moved all those little things that I had wanted to do today over to tomorrow.
Oh, amen.
And
sister,
I said, I'm going to take a nap. So I did. My 16-month-old little girl, I ended up laying down with her and took a nap for about an hour. You know, and the truth is that we do have control of our calendars. So many times we feel like it's out of control and we can't make white space. But we do own, you know, the calendars, and we have a big eraser. We could erase stuff or move stuff if we need to, can't we?
And many times we can, but we don't realize it because we just feel so overwhelmed that we don't. We need to take a few minutes, truly set aside to analyze our schedules and to pray about them, because I think God will definitely point out, when we take the time to ask Him, He will point out the important things and the priorities, and then it's up to us to slough off the rest and give it that activity's enema.
Right.
You
brought that up again. You just,
I know. Sorry.
But it's so true. And, you know, the truth is, I mean, I had phone calls I need to make. I can make them tomorrow. It'll be fine. But, you know, that nap today is something I needed. And I know I'm going to be happier the rest of the day because of it.
I'm a big power nap advocate. I even wrote a whole chapter about it called Smiles to Go Before I Sleep and Too Blessed to Be Stressed. And you know, a lot of really famous, miraculously productive people were nappers. We're famous nappers. And, hey, if they can do it, we can do it.
Right. Now, another thing you talk about is what, you know, about our to-do list having footnotes. And I know I've mentioned that a couple times, and I do have a to-do list, and it probably does have footnotes. What can you suggest for those of us that are, you know, dealing with this huge list?
Well, that's a tough one, because I know some things can't be helped. And I guess it's a matter of breaking them down into time factors, you know, when is essential for this particular thing to be done. And like you said earlier, you can put off some things, and just to, you have to plan. If we don't plan, if we fly by the seat of our pants, we're always going to become more stressed. If we can take 5 to 10 minutes even, you know, at the beginning of the week to plan the week, I think we will de-stress ourselves so much. It would just be to our own good to be able to take that. We'll make up that 10 minutes over and over again, and we will live much freer if we can just plan a little bit.
Well, I love that. And, you know, and then just be knowing that if things don't work out, that God has a plan for that too. You know, I know there's times my grandma has needed me to take her to Walmart, and I had, you know, maybe 2 hours blocked out. I'm going to write today. And then I'm at Walmart. And just knowing that, you know what, it's just as important that I take my grandma to get her Special K
than it is to
put those words on the paper.
I love that about you. I got to tell you that. I love that about you. You are my hero with that, because my parents are getting elderly, and they're starting to talk about moving down here, and, you know, and I look at people like you who are so good about putting the needs of those people like your grandma and, you know, in your life, and you meet their needs, and you do what you have to do, and you have such a good attitude about it. And, you know, we need you as our role models, all the rest of us in the world. And I want you to know a lot of us look up to you for that.
Oh, thank you. You know, but I think God does show up when we put his priorities and make them our priorities. He shows up in the other areas. You know, maybe the next day I'll have double the writing, not double the writing time, but double the efficiency in my writing time because I was willing to, you know, step out and reach out and connect with someone.
Well, I feel sure that's why he's blessed you so immensely, that he has with your, golly, gazillion books and all your wonderful success. And I know it's because he's so proud of you that you have your priorities straight.
Oh, thank you. Well, you're being a super encouragement to me today.
Oh, well, I mean it. I'm your biggest fan.
Oh, thanks. Okay, so, too blessed to be stressed. I know that there are other, you know, the listeners are still there and they're still, you know, getting these great tips. What other encouragement do you have? Okay, if they're looking at their schedule, they're looking at their day, they're looking at their priorities, what can they do next?
Well, I think one big one for me and that I struggle with constantly is positive self-talk. As far as we were talking about self-esteem, and I know that doesn't have anything to do with totally simplifying, but I did want to throw that in there because I think a lot of us struggle with that. The more women I talk to, the more I realize how absolutely rampant it is that we just don't have a lot of good things we tell ourselves over and over and over. And one of the easy ones that I really want to share today is just that magical three-letter word that tacks hope onto the end of every thought, and it's yet. It changes the I can't perspective into I can with a little more time. And the difference is subtle but so profound. Changing the thought of I can't make this work yet.
Oh, wow.
I'm just not smart enough to do this yet. I'm not handling this well. Yeah, you know, you add instant hope when you add that three-letter word on there. And that's just one of the things that I mentioned in the chapter, that's something that's helped me immensely since I've made an intentional effort to try to think positively and to not have that Eeyore voice droning on in my head, you know.
Right. You know, and I think it is so easy to compare ourselves with other people. And what I always say is we always compare our weaknesses with someone else's strengths.
Yep.
So, you know, we're saying, I'm like, oh, okay, I'm listening to Deborah. I wish I was more witty. I wish I could come up with, you know, these little, you know, humorous stories to go with my points. But God gives us each our unique gifts, and we don't need to compare our weaknesses to someone else's strengths. We just need to build on our strengths and the strengths that he's given us. But that comparison thing always gets in there. It always throws us for a loop, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. It does. Oh, I have one more really cute story, if I could throw it in. It doesn't have anything to do with anything, but it's so funny.
Okay.
It happened just about a couple weeks ago, and I was doing a radio interview with a man, which is always funny to me that this poor man gets stuck interviewing a woman author about a woman's book. the poor guy, so he was doing pretty well, and we were getting toward the end of the interview, and I could tell he hadn't read the book, but he had it in his hand, and so he was asking questions pretty much just out of the table of contents, you know. So we get near the end, and you could tell he'd been uncomfortable about all these women's issues. You know, I think I might have even mentioned the calendar constipation thing. And, you know, you could tell it was like he didn't know how to respond to that. And so we get to the end, and he goes, "Oh," and you could see, hear it in his voice, the relief, like, "Oh, good, something I know something about." He says, "Oh, I see here you wrote a chapter called Luther's Legacy." He said, "Go ahead and tell us, talk to us about Martin Luther."
Oh, no.
And I didn't know how to tell him that that's about a monkey named Luther. a ringtail capuchin monkey named Luther. And I was like,
oh, wow.
So that has nothing to do with anything, but maybe it made somebody smile.
Yeah, that is so funny. But, yeah, and I think, I mean, I just love how sometimes you just take the best of the situation and then roll with it anyway, whether someone thinks you're talking about Martin Luther or you're really talking about a monkey. Well, we are wrapping up right now, and I just want to say thank you, Deborah, for being here and sharing all your tips. And I know that you just put a smile on my face today. And I
my
feel
pleasure.
More blessed and less stressed after talking to you.
Aw, thanks so much, Tricia. That means the world to me.
Yeah, and we'll be back next week on Living Inspired. And just remember to give yourself some space and some quiet time to get God's inspiration this week. Hope you have a great week.